to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. Our guest is Gordon Chang, our duty expert on matters involving Asia and that of, well, Forbes.com, World Affairs Journal, also Fox News, among many other elements and assets of the Fourth Estate. It's always good to have him with us. He is the author, among other things, of Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World, and the Coming Collapse of China. Gordon, welcome back. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Good to be with you. Tell me about your thoughts on something that we discussed a little bit with Bill Gertz last week, Gordon, and that is the sense that the Obama administration now, at last, is really seized with the threat that is emerging from China, specifically its takeover of parts of the South China Sea, that it is in fact beginning to implement the pivot that it has long been talking about to that region. Is that so, do you think?
The accelerated reclamations in the Spratly Islands in the South China Sea has really changed people's views about China. Largely because, you know, if there's been any consistent American foreign policy over more than two centuries, it has been the defense of freedom of navigation. And everybody knows that these reclamations are a prelude to infringement of freedom of navigation, especially because China is now claiming that these new islands that it's created actually also create territorial sea. That is not good international law. And that really means the U.S. is in a position where if it is going to be the ultimate guarantor of the global commons, as we have been, then clearly we've got to do something. And we're starting to see change even in the U.S. Navy, which has been the most China-friendly part of the U.S. government.
And what exactly is that change, as you see it, Gordon, again, against the backdrop that these Chinese man-made islands will not only give them access to considerable resources believed to be under those waters, but also, as you say, a base from which to project power for intercepting of navigation or other purposes?
Well, it's clear that the Chinese are eventually going to declare an air defense identification zone over the South China Sea, as the foreign ministry talked about a week or so ago. Right now, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the U.S. is considering sending ships close to those reclamations within what China considers to be its 12 nautical mile territorial sea, and which we believe is international water. And the Pentagon is also thinking of flying planes over the reclamations. So eventually this will occur. I don't know if it's going to be this month or next month, but with the Chinese not willing to stop, it means that the United States and countries in the region are going to be adopting much more assertive responses. So this is a zero-sum contest where one notion is going to prevail, either our notion of the international system or China's.
Well, it could well come to blows if there's a miscalculation made as China not only builds out these islands but arms them and presumably puts in place aircraft and ships with which to assert their sovereignty. Gordon, let me turn to another part of the portfolio that you cover so well that is no less vexing, and that is what North Korea is up to. We talked last week, I think, about further progress being made on their nuclear weapons program, specifically developments in the submarine-launched ballistic missile area. But there's also just horrifying reports about the latest kinds of despicable behavior on the part of the regime as it engages in a kind of reign of terror. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, South Korea's National Intelligence Service has reported that North Korea executed its defense minister, General Hyung Yong-chol, with anti-aircraft fire. This is not the first four-star who has been killed recently. There's also reports that General Pyeon In-sung was executed perhaps as early as last November, maybe in January. The numbers of senior North Korean officials who've been executed since Kim Jong-un took power in December 2011 is about 84, But if you start adding in the mid-level and junior officials, we're up to a death toll of somewhere between 400 to 500. And this indicates extreme instability in the regime, not the consolidation of power that most experts think.
Yeah. Aiming an anti-aircraft weapon with its large and heavy volume fire at a human being is just an unspeakable act of depravity. Gordon, another part of the portfolio that you address is something that is not confined to China or East Asia, but I guess now really a worldwide phenomenon. And I'd like you to explain what it is as well as what its implications might be. And that is this so-called Confucius Institute movement. Who's behind it? What purpose does it serve? And what might its security implications, among other things, be?
Well, the Chinese central government is trying to put Confucius Institutes in university and colleges worldwide, also Confucius classrooms in secondary schools. This is ostensibly to teach the Chinese language, and they fund them, but they also try to prevent discussion on campuses that China doesn't like. The Confucius Institute have really spread very fast throughout the world. In the United States, though, and Sweden and Canada, we're starting to see school boards and colleges and universities not renew Confucius Institute contracts, largely because of the baneful influence that China is trying to exert and in trying to really undercut the whole notion of academic freedom. Now, this is not to say that we're not going to see more of them, and I think that we probably will. But nonetheless, there is starting to be a reassessment of this. And I think that the Chinese government will not be able to fund this, at least on a long-term basis, because of the problems that they're having at home.
You know, I want to come back to that in a moment, but just staying with the Confucius Institutes. So if I understand you correctly, Gordon, this is intended to be a vehicle for building infrastructure around the world, including in American academic settings, for both a language training program, but also really kind of an influence operation. Is that right? And if so, to what end? Suppressing, you know, campus activity that is deemed to be unhelpful to China is one thing, but if you get your hooks into young people and give them scholarships or give them, you know, paid trips to China or are otherwise able to perhaps recruit them, where does this lead? And is that, in fact, what the Chinese are up to, in your judgment?
The Chinese clearly are up to trying to influence discussion and discourse on campuses. They've already tried to do that. And that's the reason why we have seen some institutions not renew their Confucius Institutes. The movement is starting to stall a little bit, but nonetheless, this really goes to the core of the American democracy. And so we do not need any foreign government, especially China's, trying to tell college administrators what they can and cannot do. And that's really what China's been trying to do. So this is something that the U.S. government should get involved in, especially because we don't have that same right to put American institutes in China. So this is a reciprocity issue. And I think on the basis of reciprocity, we should be able to get these institutes kicked off American campuses. This is important for us to do because, as I said, if you have the ability to influence college students, then you have the ability to change the course of America's policy over time.
Yeah. Well, and just taking it one other step, if you have the opportunity to actually get, as I say, your hooks into these students and perhaps recruit them, it may not be confined to kind of agent of influence activities. It may be even more malevolent. Gordon, this is a subject we'll be coming back to. I appreciate your warnings that these operations on college campuses ought to be rolled up in this country, and it seems to me to make eminent sense. As always, Gordon, it's a pleasure to chat with you, and thank you for the great work you do at Forbes and World Affairs Journal, of course, at Fox and elsewhere, and always for your visits here. We'll look forward to talking with you next week and to talking with the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.